which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved, everything that we have is in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are an heir with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we are heirs of God. Hold 2 Timothy 2 and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You'll be about two books toward the front from Timothy. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at Paul's apostleship here. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now all my blessings are in Christ. Everything I have is in Christ. And it is not due to his earthly ministry. It's due to the fact that Jesus Christ had faith to go to Calvary and to die and to shed his blood for my forgiveness of my sins. You understand how I'm phrasing that? My sins. It ain't just the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. It's the fact that when he died, he shed God's blood, and that covered all of my sins, past, present, and future. So in the books of Romans to Philemon, sins and sins ain't the problem. What is the problem? Unbelief today. The same as Israel. Israel went not into the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, because of unbelief. You understand? They did not believe what God meant, so they did not go in. So through their fall, salvation came to some Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And that is a remnant of Israel, not the nation. Paul is not dealing with the nation Israel in Romans to Philemon. There's a program on TV, and I turned to it. We went through it this morning. I didn't watch it. Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And the man says, we got to fellowship with Israel to get all these promises. No, I do not. My promises are in Jesus Christ. All of my blessings in Jesus Christ. All of my sins and sins are taken care of by Jesus Christ, not by me.
Amen.
You understand? I'm still a sinner. As Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. Mm-hmm. Now, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 again. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Where is this grace at? It's in Christ. Go, hold your place and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You see, I hear these preachers on TV telling you what you've got to do to be saved and to maintain your salvation. Not so. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Did God love me after I repented of my sins or when? Indeed. Even while I was dead in my sins. Amen. Well, you understand, I'm still in my sins.
Amen.
But God don't see my sins. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he looks down here, he don't see me as a sinner. He sees me as an adopted son by the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary.
Amen.
And therefore, he cannot ever deny me.
That's right.
Now, watch what he says. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace ye are saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, reason that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Verse 8 now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, did we get this by works?
No.
Well, should we work?
Yes.
Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, Paul is writing to the preacher man. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, should we work?
Yes.
Do we work for our salvation?
No.
We work because of our salvation. Now, go with me. Let's look at this thing about work. I know when you work, you put out labor, don't you? I used to work for a living. And I called it sometimes real hard labor, real bad conditions. But I did have to work. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You'll have Romans and Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 4. Now, Paul's talking to this carnal bunch of people here now because of some things they've been doing. Now, verse 4. For a while one saith, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Well, I know according to what Paul just told me here that Paul and Apollos are preaching the gospel of Christ. You understand? That's the only gospel in Romans to Philemon that Paul preaches, the gospel of Christ. Now watch what he says. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. In other words, the preacher preaches the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
The people hear it, the people trust it, somebody else come along and teach you some other things, but it's God Almighty that gives the increase. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you ain't going to get no increase. You understand? Now, watch what he says there. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm not going to reap. Well, I'll use Jerry Lockhart. He used to be one of my teachers. I'm not going to reap Jerry Lockhart's labors. I'm going to reap my own labor. You understand? And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said he laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth on it, not how much. He said of what sort it is. In other words, the foundation is Jesus Christ. I'm building on Paul's foundation. If I build precious stone, gold, and silver and stuff, it will go through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will receive for that. If I build on that foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up. I'm going to receive a loss. You understand? But I'm going to get my own labor, the labor that I do. Now let's watch what he says in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Well, who gives the increase?
God
does. When will I get my increase? Listen, I'm not looking for millions of dollars right now. I'm looking for my increase at the judgment seat of Christ when I go out to meet the Lord and I put my work, and there's going to be a fire there, and this, I'm, all my work's going to be tried, and if it goes through the fire, I will receive reward for that. You understand? That's what I'm going to receive. If you want gold, silver, and precious stones, you know, I challenge you to go back there in Ezekiel 28 and study what Satan looked like, what he was covered with, and you'll see where your rewards are. Not that I'm saying you got to be like Satan now, but Satan, when he was created in beauty.
That's right.
Jesus Christ said, no man looks on me as being beautiful. He's covered with all precious stones. You want your rewards? What you going to do? You preach and teach. Share the gospel of Christ with your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, the people you work with. You're building on this foundation. If you try to tell them you got to repent and be baptized for remission of sins and keep the commandments and join the church, pay your tithes, do all this stuff that the world says you got to do, then you're going to lose rewards at the judgment seat.
Amen.
You understand? It's very clear. Now watch what he says here. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And I don't believe that people are taking heed to that. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter, we're talking about labor now. In other words, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 said that we that are workers are laborers or building on a foundation that Paul laid, and he said, take heed what you build there. I remember when I built my beach house that kind of hot over there in the summertime at the Gulf, and I had the floor, whether it's up on piling, had the floor, had the walls up. Somebody said, why don't you build a roof first? So you can work in the shade. You know how dumb I'd have been if I'd have did that? You ever been out in a windstorm with an umbrella and as much wind as they get over there off of them gulfs, that roof wouldn't have lasted a day probably. No, take heed what you build on this foundation right here. Now watch what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to verse, he's talking about working. Now go to verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, should we always be abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, should we be settled on what we believe? Should we study? As Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. In other words, it sounds like sometime we're going to go to some kind of judgment that we can be disapproved. You understand? And when he says unmovable, don't let the devils of this world move you from right division.
Amen.
We got people that are duping people because they refuse to rightly divide Paul's epistles. And when he says rightly divide the word of truth, he said it's the gospel of your salvation. These over here that were not in the covenants of promise now have a hope because Jesus Christ in Acts 18 told Paul, I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles that had no hope. And you know, we get all wrapped up about when did they have no hope. I don't give a flip. You know why? I know they had no hope.
That's right.
God said, you were without Christ in the world, you were without God in the world, having no hope. So when I was born, I had no hope. But praise God that the Apostle Paul took the mantle And he told Timothy, the things that you've heard of me, teach that to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I've seen people ordained in the ministry and they have fallen by the wayside. I know a man in this area right here. He has spent time in my home. He has spent the night in my home. And I have spent the night with him in motels. When we'd go to conferences, we would share a room and we'd set up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and seeing what Paul has for us. Now, you know where that man's at? He's a Baptist now. He's baptizing people. He snuck off to Tennessee to get baptized by an ordained Baptist preacher so he can come back to this area and baptize people. Woe be unto him. You get to the judgment seat, big old crocodile tears is going to come out of his eyes. You know why? Because he refused to build on Paul's foundation the proper gospel.
I know a couple that went to Jerusalem to get baptized in the river of God.
To get baptized in the River Jordan.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, I'm like the man back in the Old Testament. Back he sent to the man of God and told him to come over and heal me. He's a leper. This king is a leper. Naaman the leper. Y'all know the story of Naaman the leper.
Yeah.
Well, he sent for the man to come heal him, and the man sent his servant and told him, said, go over there and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And the king got mad, said, that sore rascal wouldn't even come talk to me. And somebody told him, said, well, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? And the man finally went over there and dipped in the river and he was healed. No, it wouldn't do you no good to go nowhere to eat. Why would you have to go to Jordan? Those people in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, where were they at? They went to Jerusalem. Well, anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In other words, like in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, take a stand. Put on the armor of God. Take a stand. Well, what you going to stand on? I'm going to stand on Paul's epistles, rightly divided.
Amen.
Like God told me to do. Now watch what he says here. Unmovable. You see, when Jerry Lockhart, y'all heard me tell this before. I've told it at conferences. I was in a man's home. There wasn't nobody there but me that night. And this home's in disarray for personal reasons. And he was trying to teach me this right division thing here between these two groups of people. And we was there till about 10 or 10:30 that night. He had a thing like this here, and he'd write on that board. And he said, you see that? And I said, no, I don't see it. He'd throw that thing up and hit the ceiling. And finally I lied to the man. I said, yeah, I see it. And I was lying like a dog. I had to get out of there. I know he was getting mad at me and I was getting embarrassed because I couldn't see. But you know when I saw this? When I was studying Paul's first 6 epistles. Hey, how come these people here can speak in tongues? They had the power to heal. They had the power to prophesy. This over here ain't something different. That's right division, beloved. Paul did signs and wonders and miracles the whole time he was dealing with those who first trusted in Christ. When he got to us, no more signs and miracles and wonders. I said, man, there's a difference. I see this thing. And I can't be moved now.
Amen.
I don't care what you do. You can probably try to take me to the book of Acts and try to show me something new, but you can't take that away from me because God Almighty showed that to me. I'm like that old Ford commercial used to be. Had a light bulb up there with a chain on it. Y'all don't know nothing. Wow, the light bulb had a chain on it, dude. Y'all know who started that? Do y'all know who started a light bulb with a chain on it?
Thomas Edison.
Y'all don't know that?
A short moment.
Y'all don't learn something this morning. You know who started that? The Jews did. On Dolphin Street. I used to go down there with my mom and dad. When dad had a little extra money, he'd buy one. We had four children. He'd buy one of us maybe a pair of socks or a shirt or something. You'd go in the room, that Jew reach up and turn that light on. Well, you could see a little bit. It wasn't no bright light. About a 40 watt. When you went out of that room, that Jew turned that light out. He's saving his energy. Watch what he says here, verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Is our labor in vain?
No.
Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Right past Corinthians. Go toward the back of the Bible from Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1. Let's go to verse... I don't want to go to chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 6. I apologize. Galatians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, beat him down and blaspheme him. I'm sorry about that. That's about the way we are, though, ain't we?
Yeah.
We get somebody down, well, we just rub it in on him, stomp him. What should we do? We should restore him. Watch what he says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now watch what he says. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
Amen.
For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now watch verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When you going to reap? When you get to the judgment seat. You understand? So right now, while we're here, we should build on this foundation, precious stones, silver and gold. Don't put no wooden stuff on there, because it'll go to the judgment seat of fire. It can't be burned up. Go to 1 Thessalonians, go on toward the back. Go through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute. How can the preacher establish you today?
Paul's gospel.
You don't know how? Let me show you. Go, hold your place in. Go to Romans. Go back toward the front. Go to Romans chapter 16. Now, I know Timothy is a laborer together with Paul. Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. In other words, there's something that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary was hid in the scriptures to those who first trusted in Christ. The Old Testament prophet prophesied of the coming of John the Baptist. He prophesied that John would prepare the way for the Lord, and the Lord would come, and they were told how he would enter into Jerusalem and all, and they rejected that, and through Israel's fall, salvation came to those who first trusted in Christ to provoke Israel to jealousy. Not so with us.
Amen.
Israel's low am now, not God's people today. And this program that's on TV, Fellowship of Christians and Jews, just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Now, watch what he says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the church of, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Now, beloved, that suffering tribulation right there ain't in the tribulation over here. Paul said we're not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed unto salvation. This is the day of salvation. I know a so-called preacher that says that means we're going into the tribulation of it. No, it do not. These people have already suffered. That's Paul right. Has already suffered.
That's right.
And in Philippians chapter 1, he said it's given unto you not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and that's the devil, and our labor be in vain. Well, Paul's labor ain't in vain. Go to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Well, has he appointed us to wrath?
No.
Well, you know who was appointed unto wrath over in the tribulation? You can find them in Luke 21. Jesus Christ said, wrath upon this people. Who is this people? It's Israel. Jesus Christ came to his own. His own is Israel. They got nothing to do with me and you. He came to Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Crucified him. They spoke against him. They crucified him. But through all of that, salvation came to these Gentiles here to provoke Israel to jealousy. And through the mystery of that gospel, salvation also came to us that were not allied with Israel. No way to get to God. We were without hope. Had no way to get to God until Paul preached the mystery of that gospel to us. What is that mystery? That when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us. It's the same gospel, but it's the mystery of the gospel. Now watch what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, and he ain't talking about going home and going to bed at night. Or if you work at night, he ain't talking about going home when you get off from work and go to bed. He's talking about sleeping in Jesus. You understand? He's abolished death for us. Now we may have to go to sleep, but we'll go to sleep in Christ. And when the Lord descends, those that are sleeping in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's go to verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Well, is the work of the Lord a labor?
Yes.
It sure is. But it's a labor of love because of what he did for us. You understand? Verse 18, for the scripture saith, you can find this in Deuteronomy, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That's why Paul said, take heed what you build on this foundation, because that's what you're going to receive. You want to see dirt, mud, and junk? Mm-hmm. Build on that foundation. The wrong gospel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1. Galatians 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In other words, Paul is not an apostle chosen by men. Paul is an apostle chosen by the will of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The Jew and the Gentile, later on to the Gentile over here that was not in the covenants of promise. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Did Jesus Christ give himself for our sins?
Amen.
He said he did. That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now watch what Paul says. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Beloved, Paul said there ain't but one gospel in here, and that's the gospel of Christ. And that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first here, and also to the Greek. Over here, God would have... Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's do it there. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I love this verse. It explains to me what happened back here is different than what's happening today. You understand? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, it's a reference to God who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's how many gods? One. The creator of heaven and earth. One God. There are seven ones in the next verses. Here. One God. Look at it. There's one God. One mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, is it due time to testify that God is saving people outside the covenants of promise?
Yes.
Well, was that due time back here to those who first trusted in Christ? Was God having all men to be saved back here?
No.
As he was over here in Ephesians 1:13?
No.
You sure about that?
Jew first.
Jew first. When did Paul quit going to the Jew first? I'm going to say Acts chapter 12, him and Saul and Barnabas, when they had fulfilled their ministry. What ministry did they fulfill? Thank you for asking. Let's run it over one more time. Go to Acts 9 and Acts 26. Acts 9. You see, I get in trouble for doing this, but I don't care. I mean, I got to do what the Bible says. I got to teach what the Bible says, not what I think about it or what some Dr. Snodgrass told me about it.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to do what the Lord said. Now, in Acts chapter 9, Paul's name ain't been changed yet. His name is Saul. Saul is a Jewish name. Paul is a Gentile name. And his name ain't changed to Paul until Acts 13, verse 9. Now, in Acts 9, Paul's on the road to Damascus. He's persecuting people that believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the King of Israel. He's causing them to blaspheme. He's caught speaking against them. He's causing them to be put in jail and to be killed. He's a blasphemer. He spoke against the Holy Spirit. He can't be saved here nor any other where, according to what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12.
That's right.
Speak against the Son of Man and it'll be forgiven you. Speak against the Holy Spirit and it will not be forgiven you. And in Acts chapter 8, he spoke against Stephen. And Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I know Paul blasphemed the Holy Spirit. So Paul could not get saved under the gospel of the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Listen, I'm hollering as hard as I can without breaking your eardrums. There used to be a lady that she ain't been here in a while. They had some problems. But she used to sit up front. She had to start sitting toward the back because I holler so loud. It was hurting her eardrums. I don't mean to hurt anybody's eardrums, but I'm deaf and I holler loud. I worked in a place where you had to put your mouth on somebody's ear to talk to them. It was so noisy. And back then they didn't give a flip whether we could see here or what, long we showed up for work. They didn't care about your health problems. Later on, OSHA got in the middle of all that stuff and they started helping people, which they should have had years ago, but nevertheless. Now, Jesus Christ has met the apostle Saul here on the road to Damascus. Now, verse 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Saul is talking to the Lord. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And he's told what to do. He's told to go to Ananias over there in the street that's called Straight. Go to verse 14. I apologize. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, Saul now, the man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way," talking to Ananias now, "for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, Saul is told what to do. Now, he's blind. He's been blinded because of this bright light that he saw on the road to Damascus. Ananias puts his hands on him and he can see. Come down to verse 19. And when he, Saul, had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Did he preach in the synagogue?
Yes.
Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he which destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem, came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews and the Gentiles which dwelt at Damascus. Now I'm going to quit right there. I'm ashamed of y'all.
Jews.
And among the one of y'all saying, whoa, that ain't what my Bible says.
Peter did.
Don't let me do that. Don't put Gentiles in that verse. Is any Gentiles in that verse? Look at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Go to chapter 26. Same thing. The same, Paul here is giving his defense before King Agrippa, and he's telling him what happened to him in Acts chapter 9. Now, in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. That's Acts 18 in the temple. Check out Acts 18. See where the Lord appeared to Paul again and sent him to these Gentiles here that were not in the covenants of promise. Now, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people, that's Israel, from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God to do works meet for repentance. Who did he show first, according to Acts chapter 9, verse 22?
Jews.
To the Jews. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts 12. Verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Wait a minute, Paul ain't even been sent forth yet, according to Acts 13. What ministry did Paul fulfill? What's his name when he says that?
Saul,
a Jew, going to the Jew. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. Did Paul go to the Jew first?
Yeah.
Did him and Barnabas fulfill that ministry? You know what the word fulfill means? It means to complete. It's done. It's over with. Ain't going that route no more. I imagine in your traveling that you've done a whole lot of routes that you won't take no more, ain't it?
Absolutely.
Found a better way.
That is good.
Done fulfilled that part of it. I heard you talking to Russell one time about a road over there in Mississippi that was terrible. I don't reckon you go that way no more, do you?
No.
Yeah. So I know they fulfilled their ministry. They went to the Jew first. Go to Acts 13, verse 46. Well, I'll back up to verse 44. Acts 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, that would be the Gentiles, they were filled with envy. You know anywhere you can find a verse that said that salvation come unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy? What about Romans chapter 11, verse 11? Well, when you got saved, Israel's low am now. Where's the Jew at that you provoked to jealousy?
Scattered.
I doubt a Jew even knows my name. No, That won't work. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they filled with envy, spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Who's he talking to?
Jews.
The Jews. Talking to Jews. It was first be spoken to you. Well, they fulfilled that ministry. Now, what Paul tells these people. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What Gentiles? Paul's been going to Gentiles quite a bit, hasn't he?
Right.
Acts 14, I know that he's in the synagogue and there's Jews and Gentiles in there.
Right.
Verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, where's Paul at? Where's he at? Jerusalem. Who's he talking to? In the synagogue. That's his custom. Go to the synagogue. In the synagogue, a Jew and Gentile. But over here, God would have all men to be saved over here. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's our labor. What do? We labor in the word rightly divided. Go back to Ephesians and take Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, the ones he's writing to, you know how you can match that ye to know who he's talking to? Go to chapter 1, let me show you. Very simple. You see, we learn our Bible by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we, Paul included, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, beloved, Paul is the first. Acts 9, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he told him what to do. Go to these Jews. Got to go to them first. It's necessity. You got to do it. The Jew got to get it first. You see, that's what throwed Peter in Acts chapter 2 when he was sent to Cornelius an Italian. He knew it wasn't time to go to that man. But God had to let a sheet down to show him, go on over there, don't call nothing common unclean that I'll cleanse. So he knew that Cornelius was a worshiper and he was in the covenants of promise back here of Genesis 12 verse 3. He met the criteria for the word to be preached to him. If Peter come here right now, he wouldn't come in among us Gentiles. You know why? He was told to go to the circumcision. He was told, John 21, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three times Jesus Christ told him what to do. He told him to begin at Jerusalem. He said, you won't be gone over the cities of Jerusalem till the Son of Man become second coming. He ain't talking about the rapture. He's talking about the second coming. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye, there you are right there, ye, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Is Paul sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise?
Yes.
Well, he ain't in the context right here, is he? He didn't put him, look at that, verse 13, in whom you also trusted. After that, we heard the word of truth?
No.
After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, what has to be rightly divided according to 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. Our salvation, us, we who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he also died for you. And don't you know for without a shadow of doubt that these Ephesians that Paul wrote this letter to, that had got saved, knew Israel was Lo Amni?
Say it again.
Don't you know that those people here that heard the gospel of Christ and got saved knew that Israel was Lo Amni, not God's people? If God's people were still on the scene, these would have had a hope.
That's right.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time ye, the ones he's writing to, that at that time ye were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, listen, if Israel's still on the scene, could they have been allied with Israel?
Yeah.
Well, why ain't these allied with Israel?
Because Israel's cursed,
ain't they? There ain't no Israel. They're gone. You understand? They're gone. Verse 12, that at that time you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Were we in the covenants of promise?
No.
Are we?
No.
Now listen to me. I got a cousin that says we are.
No, they're mixed up.
Hold your place and go to Galatians chapter 3. Boy, this just throws people a curve. People that refuse to rightly divide the word of truth don't understand this. I hope you do. I know how long it took me to see it. Don't get discouraged if you can't see it. Just keep studying Romans to Philemon. Romans to Philemon. Ask God. Pray about it. Say, God, I just don't understand that. I don't see that. But I want to understand, what are you doing here? You see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that these people have that these don't have, and you've got to see there's a difference here.
That's right.
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Who is the you?
Both he.
The Galatians.
That's right.
Is that you?
No.
You a Galatian?
No.
Yes.
It's the Galatians. Separate them. You see, that's why Satan in his new translation takes out all the we's and the these and the thous and the us's and the you's. You know why? Just scramble them all up like a bunch of scrambled eggs.
That's right.
Verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Y'all been baptized into Christ?
Yes.
Now, that ain't water now. That's spiritual baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one spirit, that's capital S, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. So when these got saved, they were spiritually baptized into a body. Now watch what he says here. In this body, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Are there males and females in this room?
Yes.
Yep.
Are you saved?
Yes.
If you are you baptized into a body?
Yes.
Well, did your gender change?
No.
Spiritually.
You see, in Christ is a spiritual realm. All our blessings are in Christ. In Christ, there ain't no Jew, there ain't no bond, there ain't no female, there ain't no male. We're all one in Christ. That is a spiritual body. That spiritual body, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, and we are seated at the right hand of God the Father, the new creature that we are. I hope you can get a grip on that. I'm in the flesh, but Paul told me in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You can't accomplish that by being good.
Mm-mm.
It won't work. God said there ain't none good. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 29 throws people a curve. And if ye be Christ, then ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did Paul write to the Galatians and tell them they were heirs according to the promise?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
You believe your Bible means what it says?
Yes.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 12, that at that time you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Is Paul writing to some people that were strangers from the covenants of promise?
Yes.
He most certainly is. That's me and you.
Mm-hmm.
We were not allied with Israel. No way to get to Israel. Israel's low Amni, not God's people. And you know, I ain't really concerned right now when that happened. I know it happened before I was born. You understand? Now watch what he says. Having no hope. If Paul had not have put, according to the leadership of the Spirit, having no hope, these people would have had a hope, wouldn't they? He had to put it in there to show you that you had no hope. You were without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye, not we, ye, who were sometime afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for these who first trusted in Christ. He also died for us according to the same gospel. But it's a mystery hid in God until revealed to Paul in Acts 18. And he said in Ephesians chapter 3, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And do what? Make all men see what is the fellowship. We now have fellowship with those who first trusted in Christ. He took the enmity out of the way. He nailed it to the cross, but it ain't made known until Acts 18. And in Acts 22, when Paul told them leaders about us, they said, away with you, it ain't fit that you should live. You know why? He's going contrary to the scriptures. That's simple. Now watch what he says here. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having a, and you know what? Those people that first trusted in Christ, Jew and Gentile, was there a wall of partition between them?
Yes.
These here?
Yes.
Not until these come on the scene that was any kind of thing about a wall of partition.
Oh, that's right.
You see, these here were allied with Israel. They were in the synagogue. They had a hope. They were blessing the seed of Abraham. You understand? But not these over here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime will fall or made nigh, and of the twain he made one new man. And my time's up. I appreciate
Amen.
Y'all's time.
That's a good message.
Appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see you, and young lady. Hope you'll come.